Okay, and welcome back. Mitchell Henderson is here most every Monday. One of them, he's on Tuesdays, but we've got him on Monday tonight. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back. How goes it?
Hello, Jeff. It's going as expected. I don't know if you want to call that good or not, but things are moving along.
Yes, in terms of deaths, that's one aspect of it. People are dying all over the place now, not just in hospitals. Many, many are dying at home, and probably some at work, shopping, whatever. The death tsunami is beginning to rise, and it's not going to stop. So, hang on.
I think so.
You've given your presentation tonight a very interesting name. I didn't give it out in advance because I wanted to allow you to do it. I thought it was pretty catchy. So what'd you name
it? Okay, well, the title is The Purebloods Against the Zombies.
There's a lot to that.
Okay, so let me explain. Since the COVID vaccine is not a vaccine, but a biological warfare agent, we who have not taken it should not accept the Marxist regime's labels. Many of us have started referring to ourselves as purebloods because we have seen the damage done to contaminate blood cells of the people who took the vaccine. I don't think we, the purebloods, should call the so-called vax the vats, but what they are, zombies. They are the walking dead because they are no longer human beings. They are genetically modified organisms, and they are man-made people who are obedient to their godless Marxist masters. I say godless because Scripture, Matthew 15:13, states, every plant that my Father in heaven did not plant will be pulled up. Okay, so God did not make genetically modified people. People made them, and they belong only to this current world. For those who are not religious, the zombies are genetically modified organisms and are artificial people, not natural people. Okay, so we can make that distinction.
Sure.
Let me start by deciding. I'm going to talk about two articles, one from the Washington Post and one from an alternative media. Okay, so let me start by dissecting a Washington Post article by Lisa Rain, Ian Duncan, Alex Norton, published on November 8th of this year, called, quote, "Workers Seek Religious Exemptions to Avoid Shots." This is Marxist propaganda at its best, and it should be dissected to understand how they do this all day long, every day. So let me start out with these are quotes from their article, then I'll comment on it. So, but tens of thousands of holdouts have requested exemptions on religious grounds, complicating President Joe Biden's sweeping mandate to get the country's largest employer back to normal operations. Okay, so the truth, tens of thousands is a very low figure. They intentionally minimize the number to minimize the problem, just like they always do. This is not scientific. It is merely anecdotal. But I personally know of only one person who died of COVID. I know personally two people who have died from the so-called vaccine. And I know 58 persons personally who have refused to get vaccinated and have been fired from their jobs as a result.
58.
How does that jive with the... Pardon? 58. How does that jive with the MSM's grossly inflated COVID death count and their intentionally uncounted vaccine death tally? Okay. This is also an MSM effort to imply that all of the Biden regime's utter failures and incompetence is really due to the purebloods. This is a shocking lack of leadership in the Biden regime because they blame everybody else for their soul-crushing failures.
Oh, yeah.
Every single cabinet secretary questioned by the Senate or Congress seems to have no idea whatsoever about the departments that they are responsible for. They don't know what those under them are doing. They do not know what those they are in charge of are doing. and they seem to know nothing at all about the problems in their departments, that their departments are having. They lie to evade any accountability for their job. Do you realize when it comes to crashing down, the government of the United States is going to viciously blame the purebloods for the disintegration of the United States to urge the masses of zombies to exterminate the purebloods?
Count on it.
Count on it. You can discern this from their hateful blaming of purebloods now for the continuing pandemic, inflation, supply shortages, and any other problems that arises. The unvaxxed are always to blame. Propaganda matters. It further states that exemption requests have become the go-to alternative for those opposed to the vaccine because managers must hold off on any discipline while requests are reviewed. The truth, every employee that applied for a religious exemption was immediately put on indefinite unpaid leave. Those people no longer have their jobs. Hmm. You see how they say, oh, well, it's complicating it because all these workers, they have to review their status. Well, they're not reviewing their status. They're just putting on unpaid leave so they don't get separation pay. They don't get they're unpaid. They have no benefits, nothing. Okay, so this is not the way that they're characterizing it, as if there's some due process involved in getting rid of these people. Okay, so so this is an attack on freedom of religion, which has been ongoing since governors closed churches starting in March 2020 and led to both fining churches and still held meetings, and even arrested preachers who refused to close. The Marxist Biden regime hates religion and disrespects it daily. They want religion gone, replaced by worship of the Marxist state, which wants religion replaced by science. Many people now even say, I believe in science.
You know, let me say something about that, Mitch, if I might.
Yeah,
I don't think the average person really even knows what science is anymore. Science is opinion to most people. It's what someone says in a soundbite on YouTube. That's science, because someone says it is. They don't really understand the scientific method, the protocols, the discipline, the backbreaking hours it takes to go through not only paper after paper, but to do the actual lab work if you are so inclined. Science is largely unknown by the majority of the sheep. They don't know what it is. It's a word. That's all it is to them. Go ahead.
Well, it's also changed because back when I went to college in the 80s, the scientific method was you know, you make an observation, come up with a hypothesis, make further observations, come up with a theory, and then test the theory by experimentation. And if all experiments come out to the same results, no matter who does it, okay, then it becomes a scientific law. Well, if you look up scientific method now, that part about experimentation doesn't apply anymore. It only goes to a theory. There's no scientific laws. It only goes to theory. And theory only requires that most available data supports your theory. Most available data, meaning you can pick and choose. You can cherry pick your data if you want to make your point. So it has become a religion. It is not a science at all. So I've gotten to the point where if a textbook was written on a scientific article after about 1990, I don't even care to read it because it's trash. Okay, it's not actual science.
And well, it's fodder for Gen Z, which is anyone 25 years of age or younger.
It is that they want all these kids in STEM courses, but of course they have to publish papers and stuff like that. So the only way they can pass these people and pass enough people in STEM courses is to accept papers that are not scientifically sound. It's just a publishing thing, okay?
Right.
It makes it easier to publish if you don't have to prove that what your assertion is a fact, okay? So that is done. Many people now even say, I believe in science. What an inversion of circumstances I've seen in my lifetime. When I was a young American, church groups were smuggling Christians out of Russia because of official persecution of Christians. Now a recent report in Russian media spoke of the large number of American Christians emigrating to Russia to flee persecution of Christians. Sure. Like it says in Revelations, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I read last time the article from Putin, I think, where he's saying that, you know, religion is oppressed in the West. Okay. So anyways, it continues on with this canon. The administration saw the vaccine program as essential to getting workers back into their offices and improving services to taxpayers. The truth, the government could care less about services to taxpayers. They never have. Why they do now, I don't know. They never have, okay? They have created all of the problems that taxpayers must suffer, and if more go back to work, they can make taxpayers suffer even more. What they really mean is improving services to illegal immigrants, violent criminals, and to laggards who live off of public welfare, none of whom pay taxes. Okay. So even more nonsense follows. The deliberations are particularly acute as the government tries to balance the right of religious freedom against the goal of creating safe workplaces for 2.1 million civilian employees. The truth, they are not trying to balance anything. Religious freedom or safety is the question. They have already placed people claiming religious exemption on indefinite unpaid leave. Like Benjamin Franklin said, those who would trade their freedom for a little safety deserve neither. The Marxist Biden regime hates religious people. There is, in fact, no effort to balance anything. That is a damn lie. Okay, they go on with their hate speech. Under federal workplace rules, those awaiting word on an exemption cannot be summarily fired, and it is unclear how agencies plan to safeguard vaccinated colleagues in the meantime in what are typically close quarters. The truth is, first, it begs the question of why the vaccinated need to be protected from the unvaccinated. If they're vaccinated, do they have to worry about anything? Either this is a vaccine that confers immunity or it is not. And the government here is admitting that this vaccine does not confer immunity. The very statement above implies that the vaccine is not a vaccine. If it does not protect the people who got it, how will it protect anyone at all? Why take a vaccine that confers no protection from the disease that it is giving for? Go ahead.
One thing I think is really important here, and I don't mean to belabor it, but we really need to stop calling this a vaccine. I've been saying this for a long time. It's a bioweapon. You've said it. You're right. Yes, it is a bioweapon. It is not a vaccine for anything. Nothing. It doesn't work. They're even admitting it now. It's not a vaccine. It's a biological weapon of death. And the number of different pathways to kill someone, either quickly or slowly, is quite well known now. You'll hear more about it next hour. But keep in mind, dear friends, wherever you are around this world, it is not a vaccination. Stand on that. Okay,
exactly.
Go ahead.
It doesn't protect you from any disease. Second, as I've said, everyone applying for religious exemption has already been put on indefinite unpaid leave, which is the government's way of firing people they cannot legally fire. The article continues to blame purebloods by saying it's not just about the employee, but the impact on coworkers and the rights to a safe workplace, and agencies have to be consistent. The truth, there is no constitutional right to a safe workplace. Nothing in the Constitution says that. But it is an employee's constitutional right to demand that the religious rights. A safe workplace is enumerated nowhere in the Constitution, but religious freedom is. Individual rights always trump collective rights under our Constitution and Bill of Rights. We have individual freedom, not group freedom. Group rights is an old Marxist artifice used to negate individual rights. You can see the Marxist ideology screaming at you from this MSM piece, mainstream media piece.
Right.
Okay, so now I want to look at the alternative press and what it has to say about the pure blood problem. This comes from the current issue of Nexus Magazine, and it says in a July 16th, 2021 White House briefing, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky claimed that over 97% of people who are entering the hospital right now are unvaccinated. But as reported by Fox News anchor Laura Ingraham, not quoting the alternative.
It's actually, just for fun, Mitch, it's Ingram.
Yeah.
She doesn't pronounce Ingram. The ham part.
Oh,
Ingram.
Okay. Yeah. Laura Ingram on the Ingram angle. That statistic is grossly misleading. In an August 3rd, 2012 video statement, Walensky inadvertently revealed how that 95 to 99% statistic was created. As it turns out, that figure was taken from data from January to June 2021 when very few people were vaccinated. By using statistics from a time period when the U.S. as a whole was largely unvaccinated, the CDC is now claiming that we are in a pandemic of the unvaccinated in an effort to demonize those who still have not agreed to receive this experimental gene modification injection. Dr. Byron Brittle, a Canadian virologist, stated, "Absolutely, it is untrue to be calling this a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and it's certainly untrue that the unvaccinated are somehow driving the emergence of novel variants. This goes against every scientific principle that we understand." The article continues, "Real-world data from areas with high COVID jab rates show the complete converse of what the media, the CDC, and the White House officials are telling us." On August 1st, 2021, the director of Israel's public health service, Dr. Sharon Alvoy-Price, announced half of all COVID infections were among fully vaccinated. Signs of more serious disease among the fully vaccinated are also emerging, she said, particularly in those of over the age of 60. So in other words, the vaccine, in fact, is a vaccine against nothing. On August 5th, 2021, Dr. Kobi Haviv, director of the Herzog Hospital in Jerusalem, reported that 95% of severely ill COVID-19 patients are fully vaccinated, and they make up 85 to 90% of COVID hospitalizations overall. In other words, the vaccine will not help you against the disease at all. Okay. In Scotland, official data on hospitalizations and deaths show 87% of those who have died from COVID-19 in the third wave beginning in early July were vaccinated. 87% of those who have died were vaccinated people. Okay. In other words, the vaccine will not even save your life, okay?
Oh, and don't forget, you're no longer fully vaccinated with just two shots. You have to have three. Soon it will be four. Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course. He'll keep doing it. A CDC investigation of an outbreak in Barnstable County, Massachusetts, between July 6th through July 25th, 2021, found 74% of those who received a diagnosis of COVID-19 and 80% of hospitalizations were among the fully vaccinated. The CDC also found that vaccinated individuals who contract the infection have as high a viral load in their nasal passages as unvaccinated individuals who get infected.
Uh-huh.
This means that the vaccinated are just as infectious as the unvaccinated are. In Gibraltar, which has a 99% COVID jab compliance rate, COVID cases have risen 2,500% since June 1st, 2021. While those who benefit from keeping the pandemic going would like you to cower in fear at the thought of the Delta variant, there's really no evidence that it's worse than the original. It's more transmissible, yes, but far less dangerous. Its primary symptoms are that of a regular cold. According to Harvard and Stanford professors, the actual number of Americans dying from COVID are actually at an all-time low. So alarmism is uncalled for. Okay, so now the bad news, but do you want to save the bad news for after the commercial break? Or?
No, well, we can. Hold on, we're coming up on it. Mitchell Henderson, this is chapter 23 in your new book, I think we're hearing tonight. So.
Yes, I think so. But you're exactly right. Every time somebody says, now I'm quoting articles a lot here, so that's why I'm saying vaccine, because it's what the article says.
I think it's wrong
to call it a vaccine.
Well, that's part of it's the mind control game. It's brainwashing. It's a vaccine. Don't worry. Yeah, right.
Sure.
Okay, hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Mitch. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Mitchell Henderson as we do each Monday. And all right, I'm ready. I'm sitting down. Let's hear the bad news.
Okay. So now the bad news. Remember how they always leak information to Paris for their plausible deniability?
Well, they
recently found 3 vials of smallpox virus unsecured at a Philadelphia lab.
There are only two places
that are supposed to have it. The CDC in Atlanta and a lab in Russia that are supposed to have the highest security. Smallpox was the first vaccine ever made in 1792 by Edward Jenner, who used cows with cowpox to vaccinate people against smallpox. He noticed that milkmaids would get cowpox, which was not fatal, but gave them protection from smallpox. The very word vaccine comes from the Latin vacca, which means cow. It's actually named after cattle, okay? Smallpox kills about 50% of those who get it. It was the first disease that was exterminated by humans. But both Russia and USA kept some of the virus for biological warfare and weapons. I think they're hinting at us that some is going to get loose, okay? I think they are signaling to us that smallpox can escape from the lab and it will spread quickly and deadly. The only cure is a vaccine. So on November 9th, 2021, Bill Gates warned publicly of smallpox terrorist attacks. He said that the bioterrorism is now the biggest threat against humanity. Well, I assure you, the only person that can launch this biological attack is the government of the United States. There is nobody else who can do it. Okay.
Well, let's look at this just a little bit here. Okay, Gates did say that there were 15 vials marked smallpox in that lab in Philadelphia. It was to be put away permanently. There is also a hemorrhagic form of smallpox. And can you imagine a little video of somebody bleeding from the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, et cetera, how that would freak out this already beaten to a bloody pulp public with fear?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man. And it wouldn't even have to be smallpox. They could call it that and fake it. Now, we've also been told we're going to be facing Marburg, another hemorrhagic virus. Marburg fever, I think it is formally. Not to mention its first cousin, Ebola. So what do we have? Now, let me ask you this. It has also been announced that the relatively useless, in terms of identifying clinical infections, PCR test has been successfully modified to check for Marburg virus. Now, why would they do that if they weren't planning or thinking about deploying it? This is all being released with utter intent in advance. Whether or not it'll actually happen, we don't know. But you're right. They always tell us in advance, one way or the other.
Right. So on November 18th, 2021, the FBI and CDC got involved in the Philadelphia smallpox viral investigation so that they could control the narrative. Neither the FBI nor the CDC have any credibility when it comes to the truth. They exist to hide the truth. Remember when the president of Haiti was assassinated a few months ago? The FBI was directly implicated in hiring the people to conduct the hit, but were immediately dispatched to Haiti to help, quote, investigate. And I said the FBI was actually sent to Haiti to create a narrative to hide the truth. That you will notice was a successful FBI operation. Their job in Wisconsin will also be to create and control the narrative of a black against white hate crime. While there was no excuses for what Chairman Bynum called a white supremacist Kyle Rittenhouse, the FBI has already created excuses for Daryl Brooks, the black terrorist that murdered five people in Wisconsin and wounded 49 others. Brooks, like Rosenbaum, is a child molester and a self-admitted child sex trafficker. He was a felon who used a firearm in a crime and was not prosecuted as a felon in possession of a firearm by the FBI, leaving him free to mass murder white people. He even ran his baby mama down a few weeks ago with his car while on parole for other violent felonies. Huh. But no law enforcement did anything except allow him to stay out to kill more people. So what is going on? Kim Iverson from The Hill said in a video yesterday that a large and violent riots in Europe against COVID public health orders means the end of COVID. People say it's over and they are tired of their governments lying to them and messing up their life. Okay, so maybe they need to go to something more scary, is what my thought is, which begs the question, is the next pandemic smallpox? Will it be a pretext for getting people to take the smallpox vaccine? Will the smallpox vaccine be a mixed vaccine with the useless blood cell altering COVID biological weapon?
Well, we also have the issue of the flu vax, and I would urge everyone not to take the flu vax. We don't know what's in it. We can't trust any of them anymore.
I don't trust
it. All lies. Lies.
Well, you know what? They asked me, they said, oh, it's about time for you to get another tetanus diphtheria shot. They made me an appointment. But I called them and told them, you know, I can't make it. And then when I saw my doctor, he says, oh, I just got it done at Walmart.
No more needles. Okay. Mitch,
yep.
No more needles.
I can't trust them. They say.
No.
At all. Why does the Marxist Biden regime want to hurt us so bad? Why do they mean us harm? I would just argue that it is what Marxists do. Even the New York Times pointed this out this weekend, and that homelessness, poverty, supply shortages, and crime spiraling out of control are issues in Democrat-run states, and that Republican-run states just do not have the same problems. And I found it just unbelievable that the New York Times would actually publish that. They're a propaganda rag, but I guess sometimes things slip through. The Democrats must get their federalized election laws passed before 2022 so they can rig the elections to win even if they have no support. Just as Marx wrote, the production of many useful things will lead to many useless people. Are we at that historical stage where we simply don't need more than 500 million people on Earth? Well, the global elite think we are at that stage, and they're out to kill us, okay? So let me touch upon to exterminate us with war, okay? China has assured the world that they will invade Taiwan. Taiwan has crossed every red line that the CCP set. Chairman Xi is to be reelected in October 2022. This means that Chairman Xi must take Taiwan and let the dust settle before his October reelection. Right. If he fails to invade Taiwan, he will lose face and he will lose the mandate of heaven. He'll be gone. They clearly state that the issue with Taiwan is an internal affair. Putin has stated that what happens between China and Taiwan is none of the world's business. It is an internal matter. Okay, so this is sort of something that backfired on China, but China put in their Xinhua news agency a report that people in Taiwan were so afraid of the invasion that they were hoarding food and water and other things. Actually, that didn't happen at all. But since they printed it, all the Chinese went out on mainland China and started hoarding food and water and stuff in preparation for the war. So propaganda meant for Taiwan worked on their own people. Okay. Our Secretary of Defense has said that China has more ships, missiles, and aircraft in the Western Pacific than we do. He's already signaling us why they're going to fail to stop China. Meanwhile, Russia has massed troops along the border of Ukraine, even on the northern border of Ukraine with Belarus.
Okay, hold on, Mitch. Hold on. Question. What are the odds of Russia actually invading Ukraine? Ukraine wants to throw Russia out of Donbass. We know that. We know they want to throw them out of Crimea. It ain't going to happen. But will there be anything to stop them from trying? Are they that stupid? Is that clown president that stupid? Would they actually force Russia to invade Ukraine? Is that the game? Are they going to try? What are they doing?
It's part of the game. What the part of the game is the part where they get Russia to nuke the United States. That's the part of the game. I'll explain that a little bit here. So this weekend, the Vice Chief of Staff for Space Force said that both Russia and China have nuclear hypersonic nuclear warheads that the United States cannot defend against and that we will not have such weapons for several years.
Correct.
Why would you signal to your enemies that it's going to take you a few years to be able to do the same thing they can do?
That's
it's almost like
funny.
They're begging for war. Okay?
That's right. That's
they're showing weakness. Let's think intelligence indicators. What are our military leaders trying to tell us? They are laying the groundwork now of why China will win Taiwan and why Russia will win in the Ukraine in upcoming wars. The goal of the Marxist Democratic Party is to destroy the United States in detail and exterminate its people. Why does European NATO say they will not defend Ukraine against Russia? Well, there is the 3 years of war games that show that NATO cannot win if they try to defend Ukraine. Then there is the fact that it takes 20 gallons of fuel per day per soldier to fight a war. Where does Europe get most of its fuel? From Russia. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So Russia's got the energy, but Europe doesn't. At issue is that the fuel pipeline now goes through Ukraine to feed energy to Europe. In response to Ukraine's hostility to Russia, Russia decided to build the Nord Stream 2 fuel pipeline under the Baltic Sea directly to Germany. Right now, Ukraine stands between Russian fuel and the lucrative market in Western Europe. Chairman Biden is owned by Ukraine, and he opposes Nord Stream 2. This is why he opposes Nord Stream 2, because it cuts the Ukraine out of the fuel market from Russia. Chairman Biden hates the sustaining energy pipelines everywhere. He wants white people impoverished and at the mercy of his Marxist regime. The EU also wants to impoverish their white people to make them obey their totalitarian dictates. Right. However, they realize the stupidity of war with Russia. Only the USA would get involved, and this would be the planned extermination of the American people that the Western Europeans also desire. These statements have been made by even Pope Francis, that America needs to be destroyed for its own good. Okay. It would be strategically sound for Russia to invade Ukraine at the same time that China invades Taiwan. There's nothing anyone can do about it if these wars happen simultaneously. The Russia has a problem invading Ukraine in spring and fall because it is too muddy. The best time is either to go in the dry summer or the icy winter. We used to call this going in on the freeze because your vehicles will, the ice will hold your vehicles up. Okay. Starting a war in the dead of winter will cause far more disruption than going in during the summer. The people of Ukraine will have to negotiate quickly or they will freeze and, or starve to death. So going in the winter is not a bad idea for Russia at all. Okay. The Peking Olympics may not be a serious factor since the USA has already said that they will boycott it. Okay. So Russia already has absorbed Crimea, controls Luhansk and Donetsk provinces, and would like to take Kharkiv, Dnipropetrovsk, Zaporizhia, Kherson, Mykolaiv, and Odessa provinces, which would link Russia to the Russian-Moldovan enclave of Transnistria. They can attack from the north and quickly take Kiev, the capital. This will leave Ukraine a landlocked nation. This is the Russia dream. And many of these provinces have over 50% Russian populations already, and those that don't are at least 30% native Russian ethnically. Okay, so he's going to take areas that are mostly filled with Russians. He's not interested in areas that are mostly Ukrainian.
Sure. Okay.
What remains of America will be in civil war for many years over the racial and ethnic hatred that the Marxists have created between the purebloods and the zombies because of the hatred that they have created. Okay, between the two, I actually know some zombies that they have a visceral hatred for the purebloods. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a terrible bias, you know.
I wonder how many of them, because they have been given the bioweapon, know, they won't talk about it, but know that they're doomed, and that's why they hate the purebloods so much.
Maybe so. Envy is a major, you know, creator of hatred. I mean, if you stop and you look, why do people of color, why do LGBT people, and why do feminists hate white people? Well, because white people gave us the modern world, and their motive is really envy. Okay, they could not accomplish the same thing, so they're envious of us. Okay. So envy is a real motivator for hatred. Okay, you know, they would like to live in nice neighborhoods and go to nice schools and stuff too. But there are things amongst them, and this people should keep in mind. Okay, it's like I'm about to say some things, and what I'm saying is not from a biased point of view. It's from the mouths of the people themselves. Okay, so in Africa you have a Nobel prize winning author named Chinua. Okay, and he wrote a book called A Man of the People, and in this book he was trying to explain why Africa cannot advance, why it never progresses. Okay, and he said he gives an illustration like there's a guy out in the rain, and he comes into the building. And in the building, he can be dry, or he can be comfortable and everything. So once he gets inside the building, he never wants to go back out in the rain again, okay, to get wet and be uncomfortable, okay? So he said this is why once somebody achieves something, even political power in Africa, if they achieve any kind of power, they will never leave. They will hang on to it forever because they don't want to walk back out in the rain again. They've achieved the dryness, and they don't want the wetness anymore.
Yeah, all right, that's okay. That's a pretty simplistic level to operate on, but that's the truth. That's the way it is. Pastor James
but
David Manning.
Let's look in America. It's the same thing. Why do we still have Jesse Jackson? Why do we still have Al Sharpton? Why do we still have all these caricatures of that are actually, I would think, embarrassing or should be embarrassing to the black race.
Shamefully so.
But they're still the total top people that speak on everything all the time. Look at Maxine Waters. Look at the congressman from Georgia who said we can't put more military on Guam because it'll flip over. I mean, what kind
that's
of...
That's the famous Hank Johnson at work.
Hank Johnson, yes. I mean, you know, this is...
These are facts. Facts are facts,
it's cultural.
Right?
It's cultural.
It's not just an opinion. It is cultural.
And what about Latin America? In Latin America, we had a situation where the Spanish conquistadors came over, and what they did was exploitation. They grabbed as much gold and silver and stuff as they can, okay, in everything they did. So governments since then have always been unstable there. In other words, whatever government you have today, well, it could turn into something different next month. So the type of industry that you have there is exploitative industry. Everybody does everything to make as much money as they can, as fast as they can, so they can put those those dollars in U.S. banks and be ready to run when their system changes. Okay, so why are they coming here? You know, they're coming here because, well, the exploitative industry means that really only a few people can exploit, okay, and the rest are left out because they don't have the public corruption to back them up so they can make a bunch of money and run, okay.
Right.
So they're kind of stuck. And that's why they want to come here, because they think if they come here, they too can exploit and get their piece of the pie. Okay. And in both cases, everybody, the people are conditioned to be very collectivist in that, if you go to these countries, you'll see that they always have like, food price supports and stuff like that, where they're artificially keeping the price of food and fuel and stuff like that as low as possible for the poor people. Okay. So the people who, exploit them and take all their money, okay, then give them crumbs back through these price supports for food and fuel and other things. So this is what they're accustomed to. This is how they see the world. The government has to take care of them, both in Africa and in Latin America. They expect government to take care of them. That's why they are letting all these people across our border. Is because the government wants people who wants the government to take care of them, and Americans are just no good because we tend to be individualistic. We're prepared to take care of ourselves. I mean, you know, I grew up in a white family, and basically when I turned 18, they said, yeah, it's all up to you now. You know, you're not getting nothing. You know, if you want to eat, you got to go work. You got to go get your own money. You got to go get your own career. You got to go get your own thing, okay? That's the evil white thing that white people do, is they make their kids go out and do it on their own, okay?
Well, they used to.
And this is where productivity comes from. This is where innovation comes from.
And innovation and self-discipline and a work ethic and all the rest of it.
Exactly. No. Exactly. So these are not, what I was just talking about are not stereotypes. And I did not hear this from any kind of white supremacist or anything. This I read from their literature. From their top journalists, from their top authors and writers and stuff like that, okay? So I'm repeating what they say. I'm not repeating what some outsider says about them, but what they say about themselves, okay? And I lived in Latin America for probably about 20 years, okay? So I kind of got to know how the system works.
You kind of did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Just a little. Wow. Most interesting. All right. Another excellent essay, and it gives us a bit more focus on things, which is what we're always trying to do. Things are in such flux all the time, it's hard to keep focus from day to day. It's it's madness out there, and it's going to get, oh my, much worse. Mitchell, thank you. Talk to you next
You're
time.
You're very welcome. Okay. See you next time.
Good night. Mitchell Henderson. You can find all Mitchell's works on the left-hand side of the columnist area. Just look for his name. All his programs are there. We'll be right back with Erica coming up next. We'll be right back.